And seems like a strange word to use as the symbol of our message series for December, but it is the key word for the month. Today, comfort and joy. Next Sunday, fruitcake and undershirts. So you'll just have to come and see what that's about, okay? Then we'll look at heaven and nature. Then we have candles and communion, shepherds and kings. And then on Sunday, January the 1st, we'll already be into next year. We will end with grace and truth. And it's such a small word, but it really does give us a great description into the character of God and His plan for you and me. It could have been comfort or joy, but He gives us both. God is always giving us more than just what we need. He blesses. Amen? Have you been blessed by God? God could have just provided salvation and then given you your little ticket to heaven and that be it. But He also gave us new life, abundant life. It's not just about dying and going to heaven. Friends, listen, if that were the case, the day you got saved, Jesus would have took you home. But it's so we can live for Him. He's given us new life in Him. Listen, Jesus, this is scary to think. He could have just given us truth alone. But where would we be if it weren't for and grace? Truth and grace. We'd be in trouble. We would all be in great despair if it were not for the grace of God. The Bible speaks of comfort and joy. You don't just find it in the Christmas story. In fact, it really begins long before that. So I want to encourage you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. But comfort and joy has been provided by Jesus Christ. But the Jewish people had an expectation of a Messiah to come. They were waiting for generation after generation after generation. And really, they had been let down time and time again when they thought the Messiah was coming and nothing. And they thought the Messiah was coming and nothing over and over. I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, we tend to have very high expectations ourselves. I read just this week about two letters written to Santa. I want to read to you what they said. One said, "Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live at our house. There is Jeffrey, he is 2. There is David, he is 4. And there is Norman, he is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman." That's how that went. He had expectations that were high. The other one said this, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before. This is your last chance. Signed, Alfred." Expectations are high at Christmas. They are. But the Jewish people did not have a "I wish" or "I hope." It was a hope based on truth, a hopeful expectation of a coming Messiah. And around 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, what we've already sung about this morning, around 700 years before that happened, the prophet Isaiah penned these words, Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive and release from darkness for the prisoners." Verse 2, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn," verse 3, "and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." What an incredible description of the gift that Jesus brought to you when He was born. The incredible gift that God the Father gave through His Son. It says that He will bring good news to the poor. What does that mean? It's a reminder that it's for everyone, all of us. Many things in the day of which this was written were for the elite, for those who were spiritually mature or monetarily mature. But He says the good news is for all people. He will bring good news even for the poor. It says it was for everyone. What does that say to us today? Think about this. There's no scoundrel on earth that cannot be redeemed.
Listen, that's good news for people on your street. That's good news for some of us in our own homes. If you've ever thought, I can't be redeemed, God doesn't know what I've done, I'm here because I came to see a kid sing, or I'm here because it's Christmas and I got an invitation. Listen, can I tell you, there is nothing you have done that Jesus cannot redeem. It's just the truth. There's nothing in your past that he cannot make new. It is the truth. There are no hidden villages around the world that the gospel can't transform. There are some villages that the gospel's not been to yet because we've not taken it. But there's no hidden village that the gospels cannot transform. It also says here, he binds up the brokenhearted. What does that mean? It means peace. It means he brings peace. There is no broken heart in this room that God cannot bind up. Listen, there are people in here who have broken hearts. There are people here today or watching online or listening on the radio that maybe you are struggling, your heart is broken, or it is hurting to say the least. Listen, there is no chaos in your life that Jesus Christ cannot calm. There's not. And that does not even mean he'll take all of that away. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble." Let's give a little testimony. Who in here has had some trouble at some point in your life? Raise your hand. If you don't have your hand up, you have not lived long enough. Friends, listen, it's the truth. In this world, you will have trouble. But he says, but take heart. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. And the one who lives inside of you can bring peace in the panic of your life. He can bring peace in the middle of a broken heart or whatever might be going on. It goes on to say in Isaiah 61 that he will proclaim freedom for the captives. Listen, that's forgiveness. Aren't you glad God forgives? And that may seem like just an easy way for a preacher to get an amen, but I hope it's truth in your life. God has forgiven. If you were to go back and just start listing sin that's taken place over the past week, aren't you glad God forgives? Oh, I'm so thankful that he is a God who forgives. There is nothing that you've done that he cannot make new. There's no decision that you have made or something you have committed that he can't be delivering to grace for you. And then it goes on here in this passage to say he brings comfort. He comforts those who mourn. He brings joy, the oil of joy instead of mourning. Listen, these are not either or gifts. You don't get to pick comfort or joy. You don't get to pick peace or forgiveness. These are both and gifts. That's why that little ampersand symbol that we're using, the little and symbol there, that's why it to me demonstrates the gospel so much. It is so much more than just what we need. He goes way beyond that to make us new, to make us like him. But here we have the Jewish people. They had waited a long time for this special gift from God. In fact, it had been thousands of years since Israel became Israel, Jacob became Israel, since the tribes began, since the Jewish nation was born. It had been thousands of years they had been waiting on a Messiah, and it had been 700 years since these words were penned, and they were waiting and still waiting and still waiting. It reminds me of the woman who was in a hurry. We have not gotten our Christmas cards done yet. Some of you already have. We have our wonderful Lottie Moon post office. You say, what's that? Right outside the doors here, we have a place where you can leave cards for different people in our faith family, and instead of paying the full postal amount, you can have a little discounted amount and we'll deliver that to your little box. It's really just to give the money for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and you can pick up your cards all season long. It's a great way. We don't have ours yet. So I can relate to the lady that I heard about that at the last moment things were running late and she grabbed a box of 50 identical Christmas cards and she opened them and she just began to sign Merry Christmas in her name and she didn't even look to see what it said inside, and a couple of days went by and one had the wrong address and it came back, and so she opened it up, was going to resend it again, and then she noticed what was actually written on all 50 cards. It had these little words: "This card is just to say a special gift is on its way." That's not good. Listen, that was a bad thing for her. But listen, it is so good. It is as if all of the Old Testament is saying a special gift is on its way. It is as if from Genesis to Malachi, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through, everything in there points first to the manger and then to the cross. Over and over, it points to a Messiah. Something special is on its way for you. And so Jesus came. And so what we find is in the middle of this story, Isaiah 61, we can jump forward 700 years and come to Luke chapter 4. If you'll move to Luke 4, we will stay right there for the rest of our time together. In the Gospel of Luke, in the New Testament, that's the second half of your Bible, you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke is the third chapter. We will read from Luke several times over this month as we look at, it's the best way to see the nativity story, really, in my opinion, from the Gospels. But Luke chapter 4 is beyond that. Luke 4, beginning in verse 14. And we're going to take this back to what we read in Isaiah 61, when Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah is coming. There's a special gift on its way just for you. And so here, 700 years later, Jesus, he's been baptized. He's just spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. He is just beginning his earthly ministry. And then this happens, Luke 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Now, isn't it interesting? Everyone praised him because he knew the truth, but he was just about to begin to reveal the entire truth, and things were going to change. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, and then he begins to quote Jesus from Isaiah 61, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me, emphasis on me, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me, as Jesus said, emphasis on him, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It says in verse 20, then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Picture the scene. You would stand in the synagogue to read the word of God, and you would sit to do the rest of your teaching. It was an interesting custom. So they would stand and read the word, roll the scroll back up, and go and have a seat. So he reads this. Every eye is on him. He sits down. Everyone's looking. The scripture tells us their eyes were fastened on him. Look at verse 21. And he began his teaching part by saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can you imagine? You talk about the start of a war to send a shot across the bow of the ship of religion. For Jesus to read this prophetic passage of the Messiah, roll the scroll up, hand it back to the attendant, sit down and say, today you are seeing the fulfillment of that in front of you. It was an amazing declaration that he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior. He had been born. In fact, he was almost 30 years old at this point, and here he was, a man who was going to lead others to God the Father. He was the Savior of the world. Look what it says next. Verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Now, what's interesting, you hear a decent amount about Joseph earlier in the book. We don't hear anything he says ever. He never speaks. We have Joseph in the nativity scene here. If you have a nativity scene at home, you have a Joseph as well. But what's interesting with these words, with someone asking the question, isn't that Joseph's son? Joseph fades from the story of Jesus from that point forward, and the war for the souls of mankind really begins to ramp up with intensity. So my question for you this Christmas season is this. What Jesus said, the gift that had been given, the one they had been waiting on for 700 years since it was written about, for several thousand years since it began the whole process, have you received the gift that Jesus delivered 2,000 years ago? Are you experiencing the gifts of Isaiah 61. Good news, the salvation, peace. Do you have peace in your life? Forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Can I ask, do you have joy in your life today? Now remember, joy is not happiness. There's really a difference. We've said this before. We'll say it again. Happiness is based on circumstances. You can be happy because it's raining, or you could be sad because it's raining if you had something to do outside. You can be happy 1 minute and then your tire blow out and you are no longer happy. Listen, that's okay. No one's happy to have a blown tire. If they are, be concerned for that person, okay? It's just not the way it works. But joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is based on God reigning in your life. Joy is based on God in us. The famous preacher Billy Sunday said this. He said, the trouble with many men is that they have got just enough religion to make them miserable. If there is not joy in religion, you've got a leak in your religion. That's pretty good. So at Christmas time, we sing Joy to the World. Don't worry, it's coming in the next couple of weeks. We sing Comfort and Joy. We sing about sleeping in heavenly peace. We all know these songs. But if you're writing things down, I want you to write this down because it's important. His story is not your story until you are transformed by Jesus. We can sing all we want about joy and comfort and peace and all these wonderful things. But the reality is that is not your story until you receive the incredible gift of Jesus. It's just songs. It is nothing more until we experience the transforming power of Jesus. And so I hope that you will. Christ was born in Bethlehem, but Jesus must be born in you as well. Corrie ten Boom, one of my favorites of all time, really, to read things that she wrote. Corrie ten Boom said this, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. Friends, if you're here today or listening, can I say to you, you may know these Christmas songs backwards and forwards that we're going to sing all month long. You may be able to sing every word with every person, and you may have read Luke chapter 2 1,000 times, and you may have watched Charlie Brown Christmas and watched him come to the middle of the stage and the lights go down and him quote Luke chapter 2 100 times, and you may know the story forwards and backwards, but I can assure you it is true that Jesus can be born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but until he's born in you, it does not make a difference for your life. So today, would you give your life to Jesus? You may say, I'm not sure how to do that. The kids sang about it. I love that first song that the kids did with us. We have a Savior. We have a Savior who has been born. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Whoever, if you are part of whoever, one more crowd participation time. If you are part of whoever, would you raise your hand? You're part of whoever, whosoever, maybe what yours says. You are a whosoever. Listen, you are part of that. God so loved the world that he gave his Son that if you would receive his gift of salvation, you could have eternal life. That doesn't mean life when you die. It starts right now, the day you give your life to Jesus. Right here, right this morning. Romans 3:23 tells us there's a problem, though. The kids sang about John 3:16 this morning, but Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Every person in this room has fallen short of God's perfection. None of us could be with him. Have you ever been around someone who thought they were perfect? Some of you are pointing right now. Don't do that. Okay, so you're good. Can I say to you, if you've ever been around someone who thought they were perfect, it's not fun. Can you imagine trying to be in the presence of a perfect and holy God? Truthfully, it's not about whether it's fun or not. It's impossible. You can't do it. So we fall short of his glory. But the story doesn't end there. Romans 6:23 then says, the wage of our sin, what we have earned for the wrongdoings we've done, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You see, it is a gift. We talk a lot about gifts this season. It is a gift. We could never earn it. It is given freely by God himself to you and me. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while you and I were still sinners, Jesus died for us. So what I would say to you here, if you know that he was born in Bethlehem, but he's never been born in you, what I would ask you to do is right now, today, just stop and say, Jesus, I believe you are the Savior of the world, and I want you to be the Savior of my life. I give you my life. Forgive me. I give you my life. Listen, there's no magic words. It's you believing. It's repenting. It's saying, I've been walking this way on my own, making my own of every season, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to give my life to you, Lord. It's repenting to turn. It's a change of heart. Would you give your life to him today? But for the large majority of us here today, you have been transformed by Jesus. So may I simply ask you, are you living out the comfort and joy in your life? Or has the chaos and busyness of your life really made that difficult to do? You see, it's easy to know we've been given comfort in the midst of difficulty and joy in all things, but we can also find ourselves living pretty joyless if we're not careful. So how in the world do we walk in comfort and joy? Well, a couple of scriptures, you can write the place down and look it up later. I'll read them quickly. Psalm 16:11 talks about abiding. It says this, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." John 15, Jesus explains it a little differently. He says this in John 15:9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in me and remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete." You see, it's all about abiding in Jesus. Not abiding in Jesus' birthday celebrations. Christmas will get you busy. Not abiding in the periphery stuff that comes with it. It's about abiding in Jesus. And how do we do that? For me, listen, it's God's word. It's committing to our time with him. It's committing to be a reflection of who he is and what he's doing. For some of us in this room, Christmas is not a good time. It's a difficult time because it seems to just stress us out. We get so busy and so much that's going on. And you may try to grab the joy that you see everyone else seeming to find. But I got to tell you, I heard Max Lucado say on the radio this week, and I had to pull over and write it down. It was so good. He said, this Christmas season, it tends to do this in people's lives. December seems to make good things better or bad things worse. Listen, you think about it. The season itself tends to make good things better or bad things worse. People tend to gravitate one way or the other. And what I would say to you is this, this holiday season will never fulfill your need for comfort and joy in your life. Holidays don't do that. Only walking closely with Jesus, being transformed by the Holy Spirit, that's how you will find lasting, real comfort and joy. All this season has to offer you, truthfully, is some temporary pleasure that's probably going to go away about the time your credit card bill comes in January. And it'll be one of those oh no kind of moments. So what I would say to you is, there's a lot of people who will try to manufacture comfort and joy the next 3.5 weeks. Actually, 3 weeks from today is Christmas, okay? But the people will be trying their best to manufacture that. But I got to tell you, you cannot manufacture what Jesus has already given freely. So abide in him. Walk closely with him. Now, how do we do that? Well, Jesus offers so much more than just happiness. So here's some steps you can take. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 61. Would you examine your life based off of Isaiah 61? Would you read it and then stop and evaluate, am I walking in salvation? Have I given my life to Jesus? And if the answer is no, you want comfort and joy, today is the day of salvation. Today. Don't leave here without settling that today. But then look at the rest of Isaiah 61. Do you have peace in your life? Now, peace does not mean you don't have problems. No. Peace means that you have the presence, the power of God in your life in the midst of your problems. So don't confuse peace with circumstance. So in the middle of that, maybe for you, you would stop and say, I need peace because I've got problems and I'm trying, but I'm suffering. I would encourage you to stop and abide in Jesus. Don't listen, this is going to sound strange, but don't focus on fixing your problem. Focus on Jesus. I promise he can bring peace in the middle of that storm. For others, maybe it's forgiveness. We see that in Isaiah 61, the whole idea of forgiveness, that he brings a freedom for the captive. What I would say to you is, have you received the forgiveness of God? And then if you have, are you freely giving forgiveness to others? Now listen, that's important. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something. You're about to start gathering with all of your family and your extended family, some of which you may have struggles with and difficulties with. And I can promise you, Christmas dinner will taste better if forgiveness is in the picture. It doesn't taste so good in the midst of struggle. Some of y'all have been there. You know what I'm talking about. So I want to encourage you to seek to forgive others because you have been forgiven. And then do you have comfort and joy? Again, not based off of the circumstance, but off the fact that God's on the throne, that he has a plan, that he's at work, and that his mercies are new every day. And the best way to find that out is to read his word and to be in what he says and to take that time to examine it for yourself. So the first step for some is examine Isaiah 61, relate to those things. Then next, for some, it would just be to trust Jesus. Give your life to him this morning. For others, it would be to unite with First Baptist Church to help us as we worship, grow, and serve together. Maybe this is the place God's calling you to be so that you can come and be a part of us together proclaiming Isaiah 61. We can be Isaiah 61 people. We are a representation of who Jesus is to the world. For others, it really is to stop focusing on the problems and focus on the Messiah. That's abiding those scriptures we looked at. To freely give forgiveness where needed, and then just simply to ask Jesus to make your joy complete. Whatever the case for you this morning, my prayer is that what Isaiah 61 prophesied, what Luke chapter 4 saw come to be, we would jump forward now some 2,000 years to 2016, December 4th, 2016. And today, you could live out those words in your life. Now listen, you may have a long list of things to do this Christmas season. You may have a lot of shopping left to do, things to bake, things to take care. I don't know what's on your list. I know even in our faith family, just this week alone, there's a whole lot of things happening. But what I would say to you is take that list, and if you're prioritizing it, put all that down one line and go to the very top of your list and simply put in there that you will seek to have comfort and joy. And how are we going to do that? Isaiah 61, to live that out, to abide in Christ. Would you bow with me for just a moment? With your heads bowed, just for privacy. What about you? Is there anyone here who says, today I need to give my life to Jesus? I realize that he's been born in Bethlehem 1,000 times in my mind, but he's never been born in my heart. I've never confessed my sin and committed to follow him. I've never been transformed by him. If you're here and today you want to give your life to Jesus, nobody's looking around except me, and I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out, but so that I can pray for you, I want to ask you, if you say, I need Jesus in my life, would you hold your hand up high so I can see you to pray for you? That's all I'm going to do is pray. Just hold it up real high. Okay, I see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I see it. Thank you, God. You put your hands down. If you had your hand up, please hear these words. It is not about God watching you to see if you're going to get this right or if you're going to live perfectly the rest of the day. It is the truth of the cross and the truth of the empty tomb where he says he provides salvation. All you have to do right now is confess your sins. Say, Father, forgive me. I commit my life to you. I need a Savior, just like those kids sang about. Would you pray that prayer in your heart right now? You may say, well, I don't feel different. Listen, if in all sincerity you confess, Savior, I need you. Father, I need you. It's not about a feeling. It's about a fact. It's about what happened at the cross. So what I would encourage you to do is in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to do something. You don't have to, but I'll prayerfully ask you to consider when we sing to come right down front and just say to me, Chris, I prayed that prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out either. Not going to even make you stand up, if you, nothing like that in front of others, but so that we can talk to you. Chip will be here. There'll be others. We just want to help you be sure about what you've done. And I assure you, there will be no person in this room that will not be, everyone will be ecstatic for the fact that you're saying, I have a Savior today. I'm giving my life to Jesus. This isn't a trick to get you to join the church or get baptized again. It's not about any of that. This is for you to be able to say, I have Jesus in my life and I want to be sure. For others still, though, maybe God is calling you to unite with our church. And so maybe you come and say, this is the faith family I want to be a part of. We invite you to come and know that we encourage you to participate in ministry with us. But yet still there are others that maybe you know there's some event coming with your family, with friends, and you understand that truthfully, along with Christmas is going to come some drama or some difficulty. I would encourage you to go ahead and get prayed up about that right now. Maybe you want to get on your knees and simply say, Father, may I be a vessel of forgiveness. May people see Jesus in me at our family dinner this year. May people see Jesus in me at the office Christmas party this year. May my kids see Jesus in me and not just me trying to create some incredible Christmas moment, but instead that we could realize that you are the Christmas moment, Father, and that we would simply abide in you. And oh, what an incredible time we will have. Maybe you need to pray about something else. Whatever God is saying to you, if you have a need, would you come? Father God, have your way among us right now in this place. As we sing, I surrender all, may that be our truth, that we surrender all to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. If you have a decision, come. We'll talk with you and pray with you. If you want to pray, whatever God is saying, let's sing.